Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Yo, man, what's going on?
Surviving.
Well, we do that every day, right?
Pretty much, until we die. No, I'm surviving because I'm the only one so far who hasn't gotten any symptoms from the Mucon invasion of 2008.
Mucon level 3 still? Actually, it didn't sound to me like your wife got that sick, or you would have told me that she was, you know...
She's much better now, but she's been coughing a lot.
Yeah, but I had a guy that I work with who thought he was going to die from this flu.
She missed several days of work. I mean,
She was out in bed for pretty much the whole day. But, I mean, was it really bad?
It was really bad.
I mean, my friend Kevin had it coming out of both ends, as they say. I mean, he really thought he was going to die. He was just awful.
She wasn't having those symptoms, but it was mostly lots of congestion, aching constantly, and
stuffy head, fever, achy head, so you can rest medicine.
You know, they took some of the major goodness out of that. I think they took some of the opiates out of that.
Yeah, so. Well, we need the opiates, definitely.
Because now it's now the, what is it, the... Coughing, aching. How's that phrase go?
To all beef patty, special sauce, less cheese, pickles, onions, and sesame seed bun.
We were inundated with this stuff. It's sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, so you can rest medicine.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And one of those, I think it's the coughing. They took the cough suppressant or something out of it.
Because
I think that they give you hallucinations.
Okay, how about this one? This was one word they invented for a chocolate confection.
Wait. I don't know.
Thickerer.
Oh, I remember that.
Chunkies. Remember Chunkies?
I love Chunkies.
It's my dad's favorite candy, Chunkies.
Those are good. Basically a hunk of chocolate with raisins and nuts.
I liked them sans raisins, however.
Wow. Well, you know, you can never tell the raisins from the rat turds.
We're not talking about our favorite cannoli shop here, are we?
No, those are chocolate niblets.
We used to go to this local...
the quarantine.
Yeah, they're actually called the Florentine Pastry Shop. And once John and I noticed in the paper they got written up for health code violations. And there was some issue of, you know, maybe roaches in the ricotta cheese
or
something.
I think there was something like... one too many parts per million of rat turd per cheese.
And in the ricotta, the sweet ricotta cheese that they would stuff the cannoli with, they would often have chocolate chips. So John and I would just wonder if this was like the roach head or if this was a real chocolate chip.
Which chip is really a chip?
And then we affectionately referred to the Florentine as the quarantine pastry shop after that. It's so
That's
bad.
Right.
But you know what? Phil
Rizzuto. We still go there. Still go there every once in a while.
Phil Rizzuto, the great...
of the money store.
And of the New York Yankees, overrated shortstop who made it into the Hall of Fame because his fans whined. He was
a scooter. Come on.
He was the scooter, but Pee Wee Reese from the Dodgers would kick his ass any day of the week. But anyway, every once in a while, he would talk about the Florentine on the air on Yankees broadcasts. And he would come through town and say they have the best cannoli he's ever had. So if it meets the scooter's approval, it must meet a lot of the Goomba's approval, you know?
Well, you know, Scooter was, you know, before he died, he was a little bit demented and he couldn't tell the difference between chocolate and roach.
Well, and you know when you've had a lot of the Anisette, who can, you know, it's at the end of the day.
No, cannolis, some of my favorite things on the planet.
I loved them. I want a gluten-free cannoli.
You know what
right
I'm gonna
now.
Do after this show?
I don't know.
Cannoli run.
You know, I remember going in there, and I don't know if you were there or not. It was around Christmas time, like 10 or 15 or 20, I don't even know, years ago. And the elderly woman who started the Florentine was there, and I was kind of thin then. And it was probably, you know, an undiagnosed celiac thing. I was probably a little underweight. And I didn't know she was doing it, but she was just taking, you know, all the Christmas cookies they would have around the holidays. She would just take a little sampling of each one and put it in a bag. And then she brought it over to me and said, I just wanted you to have this because you look thin.
Here, have more gluten.
Yeah. Well, you know, but it was very sweet. She was an awesome lady. And she just gave me all of these Italian treats for the holidays. It was great.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, older Italian women sort of have. It's the need to feed, as my mom calls it.
It's awesome, you know. John used to feed us a lot.
I have inherited
John's mom,
some of that.
I should say. John feeds me sometimes too.
I've inherited some of that need to feed. It's weird because like I'll bring stuff into work every once in a while, or when I make something, I feel bad if not everyone is eating.
Well, you know, I just think it's good manners, and I have this friend named Oren Domenico who owns the coffee shop that I sometimes go to, and it's just part of it. You know, if there's somebody walking down the street and there's extra food on your table, invite them in, you know?
Well, it's not even a charity thing. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't use the word charity. I would use the word politeness, you know?
Yeah, but
sharing. Not charity, but sharing.
It gets to a point where you need to, as you know, in my family, we have to push the food. I mean, someone will say no, but until they say no five times, they don't really mean it. You know?
No, it's right. It's like I work in an office.
Oh, come on, have another one.
I work in an office with a lot of salesmen, and you really, the customer hasn't really said no to whether or not they want to buy the product until they've been asked five times. And on the fifth no, that's a no.
You've denied me five times.
Yeah,
and you know what? I would go on a donut run every once in a while, and at
we
work.
Used to go on donut runs to the Big Dandy Donuts every once in a while,
right?
In the middle of the night.
And I knew people who are like on diets and stuff, and they'd say, "No, I can't have any." I'd say, "Just eat the thing. It's a donut. You're not going to die. Enjoy life." You know, that's basically it.
So, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. What did we talk about a couple of weeks ago? I was ordering an HDTV.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
well, and it came twice. Well, like a woman I know. Wait a minute.
You're going to cut that out of the show, all right?
Actually, you know, I did cut something out of our last show, but I won't tell you what. I'll tell you later. Okay. I actually made a production choice and cut something out of the show that I said that really was just so off color that it really does not deserve.
Was that the one where you talked about killing all people of Jewish descent?
No, because that was never said by me.
Oh, okay.
But I ordered the TV and it came in and I was like so excited. It's here. And I had a friend of mine with a pickup meet me at my folks' house where I had it shipped, and we brought it down to my place, and then I opened it up, and then I got it looking at it under the right light, and it had scratches on the screen. And I was just
that
like,
takes care of the buyer's remorse quite a bit.
Oh, I don't even know what it turned into. It turned into buyer's, you know, rage at that point. So I immediately called the people that I bought it from, and they're plasmabay.com, by the way. And you can make your choice about whether or not you want to purchase from them in a moment. But I called them immediately and said, I have scratches on my screen. And they were just like, you know, diving for the trenches. They just really didn't want to help me all that much. They were like, well, it's a warranty issue with Samsung now. And by the way, I've subsequently learned that damage to a screen, they consider happening in transit. So it's not covered under Samsung's warranty.
Oh, really?
So Samsung tells me I have to go back to the vendor that I bought it from. And I complained quite politely. And they were like, well, we have to do a FedEx claim, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you do what you have to do, and I'll do what I have to do. I mean, I can always call my bank and have the funds removed from your account pending arbitration and things like that. I mean, I implied it. I didn't say it.
You know, it would be a shame if something bad would happen to you.
That's right.
That's how you kind of implied that you need to do what you have to do.
That's right. And you do your FedEx claim. And I'll do what I got to do. And then the next day, I called them, their customer service line, a bunch of times. And I left a bunch of messages. Hi, this is Rich Wilgus. My order number was this. Please give me a courtesy call back to let me know that you got this message. And we're moving forward on replacement of my television set. I mean, it was very professional, very polite. And I left no less than 6 messages with their customer service.
Within 15 minutes.
No, with the course of the day. Every hour, I'd call. And but I was being, what's the word?
Persistent.
Yes, thank you. I was being persistent.
I was going to use psychotic, but persistent.
No, persistent is better. And I was being polite. Every message sounded exactly like that. And I got 0 courtesy calls back from their customer service people telling me anything. And then I called them. They close at 7, and I called them the last time that day at about 6:30, and I got the voicemail again, so I chose not to leave a message that time. But about an hour later, I got an automated email from their POS software saying that a new TV had been shipped out.
POS doesn't stand for piece of...
No, it's point of sale. I got a new TV shipped out at no cost to me. So I was happy. Oh, cool. A new TV's coming. And then upon receiving the TV and scrutinizing it very, 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 very closely, it had a few small scratches in the screen again. And finally, I started writing letters to Samsung and to plasmabay.com. And I mean, clearly this is a Samsung quality control issue because there's no way this happened in transit based on what I saw from how well Plasma Bay actually packed it. And they did pack it brilliantly. They put the Samsung box in a larger box with these gigantic, what do you call those? We like to pop them.
Bubble wrap?
Bubble wrap. Bubble wrap with like 4-inch like cannoli or ravioli like bubbles on them. And I mean, they did. They packed it great. And there's no way any of that damage to the screen happened in transit. It absolutely was missed by the quality control inspector at Samsung's warehouse. And I'm actually okay with it because they're so small and there's only two of them and they're on the edges. You can't see it, so I don't care. I mean, you know, it's not the end of the world.
I haven't seen them yet. I'll probably make fun of you the entire time.
So. That's fine. But, you know,
I can't believe you paid for that.
I am still carrying on a conversation with Samsung just for fun, actually, at this point, you know, because
they're just humoring you.
Yeah. And I'm just trying to have fun. I'm just trying to use my skills of sales and manipulation to get them to do what I want. Because if I could get a replacement TV, that would be fine. But who knows? I mean, the place I bought that TV from could have a warehouse filled with scratch TVs if they indeed do have a quality control problem at this particular factory. My TV
You're
was
like
made
a whistleblower.
In, my TV was made in Mexico, and, you know, who knows? Maybe they're drinking too much tequila down there, and they're just not
inspecting it well.
I think
that's racial profiling.
It might be. But anyway, what do you got going on?
Me? I got nothing. I'm just still trying to live through this whole sickness thing. My son is sick now.
Oh, I wish you told me that. I might not have come over.
Well,
come over.
You know, he's nice line. He's in quarantine. Speaking of quarantine.
That's right. So what's he eating? A lot of pastry?
No,
right
I've got
now?
Him in the bubble. He's in the bubble right
he's
now.
He's like John Travolta?
That's right. He has his own little air transfer unit.
Does it have the gloves, you know, that go both ways?
Only when I have to change his diaper. No, he's bigger than that. He doesn't wear diapers.
He is bigger than that.
But when I give him a bath, the hose fits in. We just spray him.
There's like an airlock.
It's like an airlock, yeah.
Anyway.
It's, what's that called? It's like positive, what is it? Positive pressure?
Yeah.
So nothing can ever get sucked back in.
I have another story, but I'm not going to tell it on the show. But I'll just tell you this. I inadvertently asked out a lovely lady who suffered a tragic loss only 2 months ago. However, I was told it was 12. So imagine my embarrassment and how mortified I was and my red-faced horror. And hopefully I made it right. So.
Are you actually ready to be broadcasting the fact that you're doing this?
Well, no. I'm not going to tell any more than that. Okay. But it was an honest mistake. I'm a human being. I'm entitled to make mistakes. But I apologized humbly and profusely. And hopefully I made up for it.
No, you're not allowed to make mistakes.
Oh, okay. Well, it's
perfection. We only ask for perfection.
And I strive for perfection. However, I've come to accept the fact that I am a human. So what are we drinking today?
We're drinking something that I think is very good.
I love this.
I just picked this up on a whim. This is called Red Belly Black. It's Angoves. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's another Shiraz from South Australia, 2004. Red Belly Black. It's got a little snake winding kind of logo on it.
It's very good.
Very cool.
Next show that we do, we're going to drink one of mine that was a Christmas gift from my friend Donna, who I blame entirely for what I was talking about earlier. And
I think it'll be an interesting story maybe to flesh out a little bit more, but give it some time.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of time. Hopefully, there can be some progress made in a lot of time.
Yeah, you don't want to have this whole broadcast thing, putting the kibosh on anything else that might happen.
No, that would be bad. We definitely don't want that.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I heard you outing me.
John is gay.
No, that's not the outing I'm talking about.
So we got a tune?
We have tunes. This is a pretty good one.
Let's check it out. Yeah.
Good tune.
Oh, yeah. That was our good and dear friend, Simon Fox, formerly of The Land Down Under, and I believe he's living in Canada now.
Banff.
What?
One of my favorite places in Canada. Just the name. I've never been there. It looks gorgeous. I've seen pictures.
I think it's Vancouver.
It's called Banff. B-A-N-F-F, I think it is.
He's actually, I believe, living in the Vancouver area now, and his website used to be simonfox.net, and I think it's deepnorthmusic.com, and you can purchase all of Simon's fine music on that website. That was a song, and I love the name of this song. It's called Powderhorn, which is like so Revolutionary War, you know?
Right, right.
It's so 18th century.
Well, you know, hearing the name of that song, I was thinking of the movie that we were talking about last time we met, I think it was last time we met, about No Country for Old Men.
Right.
There's that scene at the end with Tommy Lee Jones when he's talking about this dream he's having about his dad meeting him on a trail, riding a horse. And he said his dad was carrying flame in a horn.
Right.
Like they used to. I'm thinking, man, they use horns for lots of stuff. Yeah. Flames, powder.
Yeah. And one thing I like about that song is a lot of Simon Fox's tunes aren't that up-tempo, right? He plays a lot of mellow, right, very melodic kind of things, but that's very up-tempo, almost country. And it's got some serious
twang to it.
It's got some serious picking in it, and there's a couple of unexpected chord changes in there as well, which made the song really pleasant for me. And that's on his latest record, and I'm like an idiot. I don't recall the name of the latest record. But it's a wonderful record, and we've played a few things off of it before. And so I contacted Simon in email quite recently, and he said, "Are you guys ready to play some more tunes?" And I'm like, "Okay,
yeah,
sure."
So hit me with your best shot.
I told him which tunes I wanted to play this time, and he was cool with that. And the really cool thing about Simon Fox is that I had discovered that he's in a guitar quartet with a bunch of other Australian guitarists, and one of them I mentioned to you on the internet in an email the other day. Her name is Melissa Illich, and she's like a Bosnian woman who I think lives in Australia now. And she plays classical guitar in this quartet with him, but she also has her own CDs. And I asked Simon if he would put me in touch with her. And he sent me an email, and then there was another email that came over 1 minute later, and it was addressed to her and me. I was in the carbon copy field, and it said, Millie. He calls her Millie instead of Melissa. He said, "Hi, Millie. This is Rich. I met him on the internet, and he's a really cool guy with a great podcast. And I've found that podcasts have increased my listenership and really helped me sell more music. So why don't you guys talk and get along?" Now,
we need him as our marketing director.
I know. He did all the selling for me. I didn't have to do anything. And I was like, it was so perfect, and I was like so thankful that Simon did that for us. So I feel so lucky to have Simon in our corner, you know, helping us out and letting us play his really cool music. And by the way, this woman, Melissa Illich, called Simon Fox her favorite composer of all time.
Wow.
And I love
all
Simon.
Composers. Wow.
Yeah, I love Simon's music. And every once in a while, Simon will say something like, "Yeah, my music's okay for, like, you know, background music and fishing shows and stuff." And I'm like,
fishing shows?
Exactly. Thank you. The guy writes beautiful melodies. I hear such beauty in his music, and I'm like, dude, no, you should be like headlining at Carnegie Hall. It's not about fishing shows.
Fishing shows. I mean, it may be, he might be able to put his music here and there in backgrounds.
Sure, there might be
some.
But
in films, good films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not fishing shows.
Absolutely.
And fishing shows is kind of like,
caught me a big carp.
You might have like Yanni in fishing shows or something. Yeah.
Yanni, who looks exactly like Kyle Petty. I don't know right. What that means, but anyway, so what do we got now, man? What's next? What's up?
Oh, well,
what's up with that, yo? Oh, that's right. We got some more feedback.
We got some feedback
about closure. Why don't you read that since I read the last
right,
one?
This is from listener
Brian, right?
I'll just say Brian S.
That's right. We don't know where he lives, but
right. I have no idea. This says, "Hi, love your show and really enjoy listening to it each week. I have thought about closure a lot and struggled with it. I think an important aspect of life is how personally we take the actions of others. Many of my personal demons come from breakups. Well, yeah, I think everyone's do. That's editorial comment.
Sure.
It's hard to know what went wrong or why things happen. And when I search for a reason for the pain, it is hard to find closure when there is no answer to why, or when the mind wants to continue searching despite the answers. I lost my grandmother last May, and it was without a doubt the most painful time in my life. We were very close. And what I learned is after a week of crying and really grieving, the pain faded far quicker than the pain from the worst breakup. It was somehow not as painful as I expected. I think it wasn't personally about me, so I didn't dwell on it the same way. It was a greater loss than any girlfriend, but for some reason it was easier to accept. Thank you for covering this on your show, and it really made me think. Brian. That's great.
And that is great, because I love the fact that the two people who emailed us on this topic are speaking from the heart, A, and clearly that was from the heart. And both of the people who commented, Tim and Brian, have said some things that I hadn't considered before. You know, they're really bringing some new ideas into this for me. And for me, that's what it's all about. You know?
Right, right. It's all about you.
No, it's not about me. It's about getting some new ideas and encouraging my neural nets to start thinking about what they are thinking about. And, you know, that's just great. I'm so glad that he sent that.
Yeah, forgive me for paraphrasing, but what I think he's saying is that it's kind of like, if it's unexpected, it's difficult to find closure. But if it's an expected thing, even though it might be difficult, closure is more rapid in coming. So,
well, and you know, he also talked about maybe, well, with respect to the girlfriends, you know.
Right.
He may be placing some blame on himself in those situations, so he finds it harder to achieve closure. But, you know, the death of his grandmother, obviously, unless he killed her, which I suspect he didn't, you know, he certainly can't have any personal accountability there. So right. It's easier for him to accept that closure. And both Tim and Brian have given me some things to think about. And by the way, speaking of closure, I've had another loss in my life in the past couple of weeks. My cat Cosmo died a couple of Sundays ago, so I'm a little bit bummed about that.
So what's the third thing?
Well, the third would be the TV, you know, going haywire.
Are you
and all that.
Attributing the TV?
I'm allowing.
I think it's kind of frivolous to be a third thing.
Maybe, but I'm allowing the TV to be the third thing, so that I can move. Since bad things happen in threes, according to everyone.
Maybe you can take fate in your own hands and make something really bad happen. So
I could
that you
kill
can say,
you right now. Actually, here, John.
Wouldn't
wait.
Be so much of a loss.
Wait here.
Whoa!
I could easily
put the weapons away.
I just pulled out an 8-inch lock blade, and here you can hear the noise. Wait.
Oh, there.
Yeah. It's sort of like the noise of a shotgun being cocked, you know? It's just
Rich will not be traveling on airlines with that.
Suffice it to say, I would easily not make it through the radar detector or the metal detector with the implement that I have in my right pocket.
Although,
right now.
Unlike me, Rich would probably have a hard time being profiled as an Arab.
Well, John just has the dark skin. I'm pasty.
I think every single time I go fly, they pull me aside and they go, oh, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
Could because of the X-Men t-shirt you have on, too, you know, and the Star Wars t-shirts.
Hey. Arabs like X-Men.
So what do we got? Are we doing two topics today? Are we doing one topic?
Well,
because you know what? I'm going to apologize in advance. We may not have another show next week because I want to go see a jazz concert tonight. And we just might not have had enough time to do a couple of shows.
I just don't think Rich
today.
Is committed enough. That's what he's
it
saying.
Could be. It could be.
His own personal crap is getting in the way of, you know, the important things in life.
Last Friday, I got a text from John that said like five words, top five pet peeves or four words,
right.
Four words or something like that. And we hadn't done... well, we did do a meme of top five recently, but prior to these two, we hadn't done one in quite a while. So
right.
John suggested pet peeves.
Well, one of the reasons why I said that is because I want to get back to our roots, being angry vegetarians.
That's right. Goddamn son of a bitch.
Right. We're curmudgeons, so to speak.
We're like Jack Lemmon and
we want to complain about everything.
That's right.
My underwear is fitting not like as tight as I want them to be. So,
do you wear the tidy whiteys?
No, I do not.
Okay. You wear the boxers?
Boxers all the way.
I'm a
tidy
whitey guy, actually. But I actually wear colors. I don't like the white. I don't like the white. You can tell boxers, and I can't tell that.
That's right, because it's just way too tight. So, pet peeves.
Yeah.
So, top five pet peeves. And you know what my pet peeves are? I don't have five. I've got four.
I have a pet peeve about that. People don't come up with five when they need. People come up with 10 when we want five.
People who can't count.
That's right. My number one, issue one.
So what's your first number one pet peeve?
Well, we talked about this briefly, but and this could encompass so many things, but arbitrariness, and I know I've said that on a show in the past, and it was probably on a top five list, but I don't remember what list it was. We may be repeating ourselves. We may have already done.
Well, you know what? We get new listeners all the time. We have to start repeating the shows.
Arbitrariness, things that don't have good reason in reason or logic, you know? Arbitrariness drives me crazy, and I will list several of them as my second, third, and fourth, and fifth pet peeves, but just in general, arbitrariness encompasses so many things that I don't like. racism, you know, just everything, you know. When my boss tells me something and he can't give me a good reason for it, and I'm like...
Because I told you so.
What does that say? What does number two say?
Because I told you so.
Yeah, okay. So let's not go there, but we'll go there in a minute. So what do you got?
All right, here's a simple one, and it is women who just can't make up their minds.
Wow, you, my friend, are on the shit list of, well, I would imagine, hopefully half of our listeners, although I suspect it's not half.
No. And in particular, it's the women who think that they can play both sides of the, I'm going to flaunt some sexiness, but when they get some attention that is overtly sexual, then they say, oh, wait, it's harassment. That
so,
kind of thing.
And you've been married how long? Is this something that's relevant to you?
No, it's not. It's just I was thinking about this. In terms of our society, women want to play both sides of this. And I've in a previous job, this was way, way, way back. In a previous job, there was someone in sales that I knew, and she actually used her sexual prowess, I guess you'd call it.
Just her good looks, you mean? Or?
Yeah, and she would flaunt it, and she would wear certain things in order to make more sales. But if you gave her attention that way, and I'm not talking about myself, there were other people on the sales floor who would give her attention that way because she's wearing like low-cut dresses and short skirts and everything. They'd give her attention, and then she would like harass them saying, how dare you talk to me that way? How dare you treat me that way? And it's you like, know, wait a minute, you're bringing this on.
Speaking of sales, although I don't do as much in sales at my company as I used to, well, they're trying to force me into that again. I do go to the sales meetings every Friday, and we've been listening to some of the tapes by the guys, the gurus, you know, and Brian Tracy is this guy we've been listening to. I think it's Brian Tracy, and he's actually pretty smart, but occasionally he says things that are quite arbitrary, by the way, that I object to, and I want to see some research and some proof of that. But he made this...
Like fire bad.
Yeah, he made this incredibly sweeping statement. He said, you know, men's inner lives aren't all that sophisticated, and that's why women in some aspects are much better salesmen than men. And I was just thinking, well, speak for yourself. My inner lives, I think, and have... about... My inner life is actually kind of sophisticated. And in terms of face-to-face, door-to-door selling, women do better because they have breasts. It's not because they have more sophisticated inner lives. That's what it boils down to.
Well, and I would take it one step further. They have
large breasts.
They have breasts. But even if they're not selling to, in a typical heterosexual kind of scenario, they're not selling to men. If they're selling to a woman, they have another thing that's sort of an advantage over men is the natural or the... They're more inclined to be able
to
relate to people and have conversations more naturally,
nurturing.
That kind of thing. Yeah. So that I would agree with, that makes them better salespeople, but I wouldn't say because they're more complicated than men.
Yeah, they have a more complicated inner dialogue. Yeah, whatever.
No.
Well, I just wanted to punch the guy when he said
no,
that.
No, I think they're more in touch and able to express their feelings, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think that's true. I've read the Mars Venus books by John Gray, and you know, he's done a lot of research on that. He interviewed like 80,000 couples to write these books, and he's found that to be the case more often than not. Okay, number two, which you came up with.
I outed you.
You outed me on that one. Yes, John is gay. Because I said so. Because I said so. That is not a reason. I'm going to say it again. To all future and prospective parents out there, because I said so.
I'm telling you, man, it comes in handy every once in a while.
Is not a reason. When I was a kid, why? Because I said so.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to contest this.
No, don't contest it. First, I'm going to tell you, and I believe him when he said this. I read the Frank Zappa autobiography, the real Frank Zappa book, and he said, and we have talked about this, and he said, unless I can come up with a better reason to not allow my kids to do something than they can come up with to do it, I let them do it. And to me, that makes sense. That's logical.
Okay. But in practical terms, it makes no sense at all.
It makes all the sense in the world.
No, I
arbitrariness sucks.
Intellectually, I agree completely. But there are times when you're saying things like, all right, go get your pajamas on, get ready for bed, it's late. But just do it. But just do it. And you want them to just do it because you're the parent and you know what's best for them. You don't need the argument.
No, but because it's late is the reason there. Look, you got to go to school tomorrow. It's bedtime.
Right.
I'll kill you.
But there is an underlying reason. I just don't have the time and energy to explain it.
Yeah, but because I said so, you have really bright, intelligent kids, and because I said so, it's not going to fly with them.
No, because they argue with me for like an
because
hour.
Because it didn't fly with me. I'm sure it wouldn't fly
later.
With you. And you know what? You're a smart guy, John. You can come up with a reason. How about coming up with one?
You know what? I have reasons. You know what? That's the thing. I have tons and tons of reasons. I think I'll agree with you in the basic sense that if you don't have a reason and you just want them to listen to you, then I don't think that's valid. But if you've got a reason, but you just don't have the time to explain it to them, that's a different story.
You got the time. I got the beer. Weekends were made for Michelob.
Man, we're just like a font of commercials here today.
We are. I mean, it's growing up in our generation. We just pop culture, you know, it's pop culture white noise, but nonetheless, it's a part of our lives.
And here's my next pet peeve.
Yes.
My next pet peeve is people who want to tell you what they were watching the night before and recount every single like line from the show. The people who come up to you and will tell you the entire skit that they saw on Saturday Night Live. And it's not funny coming from them. It's
right.
It's funny coming from the people on the television show.
I can actually relate to that because I've had friends, and I won't name names, and I'm not talking about you. I wasn't trying to be, you know, like clever there. I've had friends in the past who thought they were funnier than they were, and when they're recounting these stories, it's torture. It's like, stab me in the eye with a dagger, please, now.
It's one thing to quote someone, but it's another thing to actually try to recount the entire skit over and over again.
Yeah. Speaking of skits, I'm a little tired of the Will Ferrell shtick by now. I mean, that the new movies he's got coming out, the first 10 were funny, but it's at the point now where it's just not working for me anymore.
I don't know. It hasn't burned off for me yet. I still think he's funny.
Well, he is funny, but it's getting old. Okay, so my number three or whatever, and in particular, I had a friend who was guilty of this very much, not you.
keep saying this.
Because I don't want you to feel as though it's you. You know, I just want to make it clear.
I know what's me and what's not me.
You may not.
I'm very self-aware.
Yeah. Fire
what?
Good. Yeah.
What?
People who don't do what they say they're going to do, right? And I know that sounds... I don't know how that sounds, but I mean, you know, I'm looking back at an example, and you were actually involved. You were living in Syracuse, and you had invited me to a party out at your apartment in Syracuse, and that was
I never had parties. I don't know what you're talking about. I wasn't there. This is
I
not
just
me.
Remember the party, and I remember Mr. Minkoff was one of your roommates at the time, and I seem to remember a guy in a beret coming to the party who was like this art phony, and I just wanted to slap him, and I can't remember his name.
I don't remember that.
No, but anyway,
it must have been the Sambuca.
I had planned with three or four of my friends, like we had this like master plan, like I'm gonna pick you up here at this time, and then we're gonna get this and do that and do that, and then it's gonna flow and it's gonna be smooth, and then we're gonna go to Syracuse and we're gonna have fun at John's party. And one person threw this gigantic monkey wrench into the workings and had said something like, well, I thought about it, and it just worked out better if, like, I was actually in Buffalo and you came to get me there. And then, you know, and I was like, well, wait a minute, I have to pick up three more people, and everything was discussed in advance and agreed to, and now you're changing it at the last minute, and I can't come there to get you. Because actually, I wasn't the person driving, which was part of the problem. So my friend Matt, who was driving, was a little unwilling to go to this other location to pick up this person when it was agreed upon for like 3 weeks that she would be somewhere else.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And it's like, you know, just do what you say you're going to do. How hard is that? You know, and that applies, of course, to everything. You know,
I would refine that statement as, instead of just do what you say you're going to do, take responsibility for the things that you're, you know, throwing into the works. I mean, you might have something come up like in that situation and say, oh, great, I can't be where I want to be. I can't come down with the plan that we already had arranged, but I'm sorry. Can you do something about it? But no. When you expect people to just work around you because you are the center of the universe, that's the bad thing.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, my friend who's doing the driving would not accede to those demands. And this person ended up not going to the party with us because they made these, you know, ridiculous last minute plans that seemed logical but were quite the opposite.
Right.
In fact, not to quote Mr. Spock, but they were illogical.
I think he's one of very many people who said that. Here's the next one. It's very simple. It's a very simple thing. It's something we hear every day. So I'm going to the store, and it's hard for me to even say this incorrectly. I'm trying to say this incorrectly to give you the sense.
Out with
me,
it, man.
Me and my friends are going to go to the store. Me and Bobby are going to do this. Me and George went to the bar the other night. It's the constant abuse and misuse of the phrase something and I. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's grammar thing is what you're saying.
Oh, it just grates on my nerves.
Grammar. I'm a grammar Nazi too.
But it's not
Mr.
just
grammar Nazi.
It's not just grammar in general. It's just that one in particular. Because to me, it's a simple rule. And I grate that into my kids too.
Well, I still hear this at work, by the way, but you know, I don't got no whatever. You know, and it's like, I don't have any. How about that?
Well, maybe
John just got so flummoxed by that. His headphones went flying. They were off his head. Holy
I forgot God. About that one. And the thing is, some of these poor uses of grammar in conversation are fine. But some of them, like the one you're talking about, got no. It makes you sound like a 3-year-old. It makes you sound like someone who was, you know, raised underneath.
It makes you sound unsophisticated.
It doesn't make you sound like you're just not sophisticated. It makes you sound like you're not even raised in a trailer. It makes you sound like you're raised behind the trailer in a pit with wolves tending to you. Yes, it's just, oh.
Your name is Cheetah.
Right, and you go to the bathroom wherever you're standing. I mean, oh.
Or sitting.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry. And I'm not trying to be a snob about this, but man, it just makes you sound dumb.
John is a grammar Nazi.
Or you're an audio Nazi.
I know.
So
I got something on you now there, mister. Okay, you know what? And I was guilty of this years ago. And
killed a guy just to see him die?
Killed a guy just to get an erection, actually. That was the line from Saturday Night Live. That was a Saturday Night Live bit where they were spoofing the Storytellers thing on VH1, and it was a Neil Diamond. And it was Will Ferrell, actually, doing Neil Diamond.
If you haven't seen it, try to find it on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's
he
priceless.
Said something like, yeah, I once killed a drifter to get an erection. I was not expecting it. I just spit, you know, whatever I was drinking right out my nose.
And my wife is a big Neil Diamond fan, and I forwarded that to her, and she thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, man. Okay, so my next one, and I used to be guilty of this, and I admit it, but I have read the Mars Venus books, actually, at the recommendation of a friend. I may be the only heterosexual male in the world who's read the Mars Venus books. And
I've heard of them.
You've heard of them. And I found them to be of great value. I learned quite a bit from them. And one of my pet peeves, my number 4, I guess, is interrupters.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for you to finish.
Yeah, and I listen intently. And you know what? On this show, I do interrupt you and you interrupt me.
It's
but
it's fun,
it's part
it's
of our
game.
Shtick. Yeah, it's part of our game. As Tim, one of our listeners, pointed out on our blog, the thing that makes us, that sets us apart from other people or other podcasts or other radio shows is that I'll interrupt you, but yet I don't knock you off track, you know, and you'll interrupt me, but we just keep trudging through, you know.
It's just, you know, dogged persistence.
Exactly. But what I do hate are the interrupters who, when you're talking, they just burst right out. And to me, it's just ego and arrogance. You know, what I have to say is more important.
They're not listening.
Yeah, well, they're not listening, but it's like what I have to say is more important. I mean, this is the message I'm getting when they interrupt me. And basically, I just want to punch them in the face. You know, it's like, have you no manners? Hello? I mean, it's almost as if you're
a manners Nazi
asked
too.
Out a person who was at a totally inappropriate time or something.
A person which we will not mention.
And I just want to say in a more heartfelt moment that I would never do anything inappropriate on purpose. So my apologies to everyone.
I'm sorry. I just found that funny. For some reason.
Yeah, I don't know why. I was being sincere. I guess, Mr. Interrupter.
Sincerity.
Had.
Maybe that's what one of my pet peeves.
I think it is. Rich is actually being honest. And oh, my God.
The pen exploded.
It did. I was just tapping the pen. You heard it a minute ago. And then the spring launched it.
You owe me one pen. Anyways.
Right. We're running late here. So
my next pet peeve, And this will be my last one. I don't know how many I've done, but this is my last one.
I think five. This will be number five.
Not my job. That's not my job. I'm sorry. I don't do that. You're going to have to go find someone else to do that.
Right. And you know, actually, John and I were talking about that. I have something relevant about this whole Samsung TV buying thing that we were talking about where, you know, people were giving me the it's not my job thing, you know, and it's
well, the thing that bugs me about the not my job thing is, okay, if I work in a company and someone else works in a company and someone comes to me and says, do you know something or can you answer this question or can you do this thing for me? And I can't do it. That's one thing. But if I can, and even though it's not necessarily my entire responsibility or it's going to divert me from something, just to say it's not my job sort of does away with the whole concept of if I make the company money or if I do something that is efficient or if I'm trying to be just a nice person and help someone out, everything else goes more smoothly and we'll all benefit from this.
I have a friend whose father graduated from the Naval Academy, and I probably told this story in the past too, but he was a Commodore, retired as a Commodore from the Navy.
So and, he was like a brick house.
Yes.
Is that one of the Commodore songs?
That is so bad. Anyway, he didn't like the answer, I don't know. John, on what day, exactly at what second does the spring equinox occur? I don't know is not an acceptable answer. However, I'll find out is.
Right.
And so why is that so difficult? You know, I just don't get that.
Well, that's the thing that I have struggled with in my work life is when anyone comes to me with a question, I don't ever feel comfortable saying, I don't know, or I don't have time for that.
You know what?
I'll stop what I'm doing if I can take 5 seconds to help them out, because I know that they'll go on their way and they'll feel better about things. They'll have their answer. Even if I can divert them and send them to someone else to get the answer, I don't feel right about doing that.
It fulfills me to help people, actually. Yeah. It fulfills me to help people. Knowing I've helped someone is a fulfilling thing. And, yeah, just find out.
Well,
the
it's
answer.
Like a pay it forward kind of thing, not to bring up that sort of saccharine kind of movie. But it's a pay it forward kind of thing because I help someone else out, then next time I go to help them out, even if it's not their job, they'd be more inclined to help me.
You know,
because
it's the domino effect. It's like you're reinstituting communism here, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be a nice guy, but you're bringing in the whole, you know,
communist
thing.
Let's play a tune. Yeah. You know, and I guess my last pet peeve would be hypocrisy.
Murder.
We'll talk about that on another show. Anyway, let's check it out. Oh,
That was awesome.
I quite by accident discovered those guys on the PodSafe Music Network the other week, and I was like, John, you got to check these guys out. Their name is Bift, B-I-F-T.
It's not B-I-F-F-E-D.
It's Bift. And that song was called Chicken Feet. And what I love about that song was that it was outside enough where it was a little out there, but it had a groove too. You know, right, it kind of maintained a groove. And everything I've heard from these guys is phenomenal. And that one goes out to all of our jazz fans. And for those who fast forward to the jazz, we suspect you fast forwarded.
Well, and for people who don't like jazz, well, fast forward through this next comment. Suck it.
You know what? I'm not going to go into these films at length, but last Friday, or two Fridays ago, at Munson-Williams Proctor Arts Institute.org, they showed the 5 Oscar nominees for live-action short films.
Any snuff films in there?
There were no snuff films, but I will just mention the films by name very briefly. Tango Argentina, which here is Tanguy Argentini. It's a Belgian film in French with subtitles. In the Night, which is a Danish film. With subtitles. Il Supplente.
I love Danish.
I love them too. There's nothing like a good bagel. Il Supplente, which apparently is Italian for The Substitute, and that was an Italian film with subtitles. The Tonto Woman, which was a British film, Western actually, sort of like an American style Western, but made by a British production house.
Was that the sequel to the Lone Ranger Woman?
I think it was. And the last film listed here, which was the one that happened to win the Academy Award for Best Live Action Short, was The Mozart of Pickpockets, which is a really sort of sweet little film about these two guys who made friends with a child, and he was indeed the Mozart of Pickpockets. For me, out of the 5, Tango Argentina was the most fun because it was the most lighthearted and had the most humor. In the Night was kind of a bit of a stay in a cancer ward of a Danish hospital, and it was a little dark. Wasn't right for the mood
they
I was
hospitals
in.
Hospitals for Danish?
They do, and cancerous Danish at that.
Yuck.
Il Supplente, The Substitute, was actually a wonderful film, the Italian film. That was my second or third favorite film of the 5. And what I'll say about that film is at the very end, there was a subtitle that came up that said, this film is dedicated to all those people who feel like they don't fit in. So you need to see it just because.
Are you saying
that.
I don't fit in?
No, but you like outsiders.
Oh.
So anyway, probably my least favorite film of the 5, my least favorite 2 were In the Night, the sort of the dark cancer ward thing, and The Tonto Woman, the sort of British Western. It was a little odd.
What was that thing, Tango and Cash? What was it?
Huh?
The first film? Tango and Cash.
Is that the one with Stallone and Kurt Russell?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You remember exactly.
I don't.
You're a huge Stallone, Kurt Russell fan.
Yeah. When I'm not being a gigantic, Three Musketeers fan, I turn it over to the Tango and the Cash. Anyway,
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a show. Please let it be a show.
Ah.
Oh, thank God.
The klaxons came just in time.
Oh, man. And we've run a little long, but we've had some fun.
The klaxons came just in time before Rich admitted to loving sorts of films that he shouldn't admit.
I actually saw that film about 15 years ago with
See,
my
he's admitting it.
Yes, but I'll admit nothing more than it. Anyway, you've been listening to Bloodthirsty Vegetarians. My name is Rich Wilgus.
I'm John Tallarico.
Check us out on the web, www.bloodyveg.com.
Check out the forum, the fabulous forum, bloodyveg.com/forum.
You can always leave us feedback, money, all kinds of illicit
feedback
contraband
money.
To feedback at bloodyveg.com. Yo, feedback money, that's right.
That's my nickname on the street, feedback money.
So we probably don't have enough time to do a show for next week, so please forgive us, but we'll be back in 2. And remember, you've been listening to the VIB.